I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit and about the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. And I, I've sometime asked Brother Greg, how do you, decide what to preach on? And I'll be honest with you, for the most part, it's what God is dealing with me with at the time. And so most of the time I'm preaching to myself, not necessarily to anybody else. I'm preaching, God is teaching me and God is speaking to me. And over the last several months, the big thing that God has been talking to me about is just hearing His voice, listening to Him. I keep coming back to this over and over again. You know, Jesus so many times said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that's the problem. We have a problem hearing. In fact, while many of us may have fine physical ears, our spiritual ears, for the most part, are tone deaf. And we have a difficult time hearing God. We're kind of like those three guys walking along one afternoon, and one of them said, "It's windy today." And the second one said, "No, I think it's Thursday." And the third one said, "Me too, let's go get something to eat. Or drink. Wait, sorry. Me too. It's Thursday. Let's go get something to drink." I told that wrong, and I'm sorry about that. I thought, I didn't put that in the first service because I didn't think they could handle it, but I thought y'all might be able to. So I put it in right there. So anyway, there's three guys walking along. One of them says, "It's windy today." They're older guys, my age. One of them says, "It's windy today." Second one says, "No, I think it's Thursday." Third one says, "Me too. Let's go get a Coke." We're gonna get the laugh track out here pretty soon, okay? But that attitude, that type of thing is really what happens. I mean, it's not that God's not talking, but we've got hearing problems, and the problem with us is our spiritual ears have been affected by our sin, our rebellion, our disobedience to God. And so that scars our ears, that stops up our ears, whatever. And so God is still talking, but we have a difficult time hearing. And if we can hear, then we've got a difficult time understanding. I was thinking about this past week. Several years ago, I went to a doctor, a specialist for a particular procedure, and it was a foreign-born doctor, good doctor. I'm not saying anything about foreign-born doctors or anything else, except English was not his native language. But he was speaking to me in English because that's my native language, or Texan is anyway. And I was having a very, very difficult time understanding what he was trying to tell me. Fortunately, his nurse was there, and so she would kind of interpret for me as we went along until finally he finished up and he left. And then I said, "Now, what did that guy say?" And so she explained it all to me. And she was able to do that because she knew the doctor and she knew what he was talking about. And I didn't know the doctor and I didn't know what he was talking about. She did. So she was able to interpret and explain it all for me. Wouldn't it be nice if it came with the things of God, if we had someone who knew God, knew Him intimately and knew Him exactly, and knew what He was talking about, who could come alongside us and tell us what God is saying. When we're having difficulty hearing, or whenever we're not understanding the things of God, wouldn't it be nice to have someone who could tell us the things of God, who knows Him intimately, knows exactly what He's saying, and could relay all that stuff to us? Well, the good news is, we do. And that person, that one who knows God intimately and knows what God is saying, is the Holy Spirit. That is the third part of the Trinity. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of John chapter 16. And I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit, in particular, His work in your life. Now, next week, I'm going to talk to you a little bit from this same passage about what the Holy Spirit does in the world. Okay, we're going to see that here today, but we're going to focus on what He does in our life. Now, let me just give you a little background of this text. This part of John 16 is found in the middle of a passage that that theologians sometimes refer to as the Olivet Discourse. That is, it is the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples on the Mount of Olives or on the way to the Mount of Olives immediately before he was arrested and put on trial and then crucified. So the words we're reading here today were spoken by Jesus maybe an hour or so before Judas showed up in the Garden of Gethsemane with the soldiers and kissed Jesus on the cheek, and then he was arrested. So this is the final thing that Jesus has to share with his disciples. This passage begins all the way back in chapter 14, verse 1, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Okay, so there's John 14. So he continues on, and he gets to, in fact, this passage ends in chapter 17 with that high priestly prayer, in which Jesus and the Father are just in perfect communion, and everything now is prepared for his arrest and then crucifixion. Well, here in chapter 16, he's talking to his disciples, and he's giving them some final instructions, some final things, and he comes to this issue of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And I want you to see this. We'll begin in verse 5. Jesus said, "Now I'm going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' Yet because I've spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Counselor will not come to you." Now let me just pause right there, and let's just think about that word "counselor" for just a second. It's the Greek word parakletos or paraclete, and it is a legal word that refers to someone who stands beside me and represents me before the judgment bar, or someone who explains my case to the judge and then explains what the judge is saying to me. In the same way that the nurse would explain what the doctor is saying to me, this paraclete, this counselor, this comforter, the one who comes along beside me, and he takes the things of God and he relays them to my heart, and he takes my things and relays them back to God. So now I have perfect communion with the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's the implication of that word. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. So he says, if I don't go away, then the Counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Now watch this. He didn't say, "I'll send him just to the world." And he didn't say, "I'll send him to the preachers," or "I'll send him to the real religious folk." No, he said, "I'll send him to you." Okay? Now, beloved, he's talking to each one of us. Every one of us have the potential, we have the opportunity, we have the ability to receive the Spirit of God within us, to live within us, dwell within us, and be our comforter, our counselor, our paraclete, our guide. Okay? So it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, when Christ Jesus comes into your life, he puts his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within you. Okay? So this is for you, he says. So if I go, I will send him to you. And then he says in verse 8, when he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Again, let me pause right there and just point out the personal pronouns. Notice that he doesn't use the kind of pronoun that just refers to something indefinite. He used the definite pronoun, he. And so he doesn't say the Holy Spirit, it. He doesn't say he, it will come and it will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. It is the Holy Spirit, he. Personal. You can't relate personally to an it, but you can relate to a he. And the Holy Spirit is he. He is the third part of the Godhead, the third part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in perfect unity together. And now he comes to live within us. So now God dwells within us. He intimately, personally, and you can relate to him. So when he comes, he will convict the world. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit in the world. He will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 9, about sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now that's the role of the Holy Spirit in the world. next Sunday, come back, and we're going to unpack that part of this scripture. But now, the role of the Holy Spirit in my life. I still have many things to tell you, verse 12, Jesus says, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, or all truth. For He will not speak on His own, but He will speak whatever He hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify Me because He will take from what is Mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is Mine. This is why I told you that He takes from what is Mine and will declare it to you. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word. Now notice the Holy Spirit, this personal Spirit of God, given to us. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus had walked with His disciples. Now He's going away. He's dying on the cross. He's going to rise again on the third day. He's going to ascend into heaven. But He says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send My Spirit. So now, with the Spirit of God in you intimately, personally, you, it's just like Jesus was with you. So it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit living within you. And now what happens is the Spirit of God, He takes the things of God and He relays them to our heart and life so that now we can know God, know the things of God. And then He takes us because He's our counselor, He's our advocate, He's the one who stands beside us, and He relates us back to God. So now we can have this intimate, personal relationship with God, and it comes through the Spirit of God. Now, what I want to do this morning, I just want to show you how this plays out, or what the Holy Spirit specifically does in our life. He is our guide. Notice that it says back there in verse 13, into all truth. All truth. Now, hang on to that for a second. Let me show you what this means. It means, first of all, the Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth about God. Now listen, He is our guide into all truth about God. Now, again, to understand God, you've got to know God. And God wants to be known by you. In fact, the entire testimony of Scripture is that this infinite God has revealed Himself in a way that finite human beings like you and me can know personally and intimately. He wants to be known. And so what God does is, again, He takes His Spirit, He puts His Spirit within us. And so now the Spirit of God dwells within us. Now we can know God and we can understand God because the Spirit of God is there to show us or to relate to us or to guide us in all truth about God. Now I want you to understand why this is so pivotal. This is so pivotal to know God because, and you can see it in the world today, there's just a lot of misunderstanding about God. And it's all those misunderstandings about God that bring about so many different religions and so many different denominations, even within the Christian religion. Because what happens is people worship the God they know or they think they know, and their religion or our religion is based upon what we understand about God. Let me give you an example. When the missionaries went down to the Amazon area in South America, they found that the Indians down there believed in God, and they believed that God was good. They also believed in the devil, and they believed that the devil was evil. So they had their worldview was a worldview of duality. They saw good and evil, God and the devil. God was good, the devil is evil. And they believed that because God was good, they could ignore God and it wouldn't cause them any problems because God would still be good and God wasn't going to do anything to them. But the devil being evil, they couldn't ignore him because if they ignored the devil, then the devil would do something bad to them. And so since God was good, they could ignore him and he'd still be good. Since the devil was evil, they couldn't ignore him or he would do something to them. And so their religion was one of witchcraft and the occult practices and those type of things. Everything that they did was in order to placate the devil, and that was their understanding of God being good and the devil being evil. Now, you understand how our religion basically is an outflow of what we understand and what we believe about God. So if we're going to worship in spirit and truth, That is, if we're going to worship God correctly, that is, if our religious practice is going to be correct, then we've got to know Him and we've got to understand Him. And so the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. It guides us into all truth about God. Now just think about that again for just a second. Is there a difference between truth and all truth? And does it matter if you don't have all truth, as long as you got a little bit of truth? Well, it mattered for the Indians down there. They had a little bit of truth. God is good and the devil is evil, right? Let me give you another example. In Scripture, in fact, in the New Testament, God is referred to as Father 267 times. You can write that down and count them up, okay? I have 267 times God is referred to as Father. He is Holy Father. He is Loving Father. He is Righteous Father. He is Merciful Father. He is all these things. There are many, many adjectives that are put with Father. He is good Father, for example. Now, if you just have one of those, is it truth? Yes. But it's not all truth. So for example, if you say, is God a loving Father? Yes, He is. Is that truth? It certainly is. Is it all truth? No. And some people, that's all their truth. God is loving Father. What does that mean? That means I can do whatever I want to. I can live my life any way I want to. I can live like the devil. God loves me because God is the loving Father. So you understand, if I just have partial truth, it's going to lead me into error. Is God holy? Yes, He is. But if that's all I know about God, if I just believe that God is holy, then I'm going to see God as some kind of stern taskmaster, and I'm never going to live up to His holiness, and so He's a condemning God. Is God holy? Yes, He is. But that's not all the truth about God. God is also loving. He is also righteous. He is also good. He is all of those things. And when you put them together, now I understand that God is a holy God, and He wants me to be holy, but He is also a loving God, and so He forgives me when I sin. He is a good God, and so He guides me in goodness. I mean, all these things. You understand? I need all the truth about God. I don't just need one small little truth about God. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit guards our hearts from error by giving us all the truth about God. Because partial truth, if that's all you have, partial truth will ultimately lead you into error. And so God puts His Spirit within us so that we can know, we can have the full counsel of God and know all truth about God. So the Holy Spirit is our guide in all truth about God. First thing. Second thing is this. The Holy Spirit is our guide in all truth about God's Word. God's Word. Now listen to me. I personally hesitate to separate God from His Word because the Word of God is an outflow of God. The Word of God is an expression of the heart of God. To know God, you've got to know His Word. When you know His Word, you're going to know God. But I separate them in this way. Because God has given us the Scripture. God has given us His Word. And again, if we just know partial truth, then we're going to get messed up. What the Holy Spirit has to do is, the Holy Spirit has to take the Word of God and apply it to our hearts and lives, or work it in our hearts and lives, and it works truth and life. And this is the reason the Holy Spirit is essential to your understanding Scripture, to your coming to know Scripture, and your obeying Scripture. Because again, partial truth will lead you into error. If you just know parts of the Scripture, you can make the Scripture say anything. And this is what a lot of people do. They pick this text here, this verse here, and they proof text. And the Scripture comes to say whatever I want it to say. It's kind of like the story I heard about the preacher who was out visiting one night, and he was on his way home, and his car broke down. And so he had to walk a little ways. He was trying to get some help, and he came up. The closest thing was a bar. And so he went into that bar to use the telephone to try to call somebody for help. And he saw one of his members in there, and this member he hadn't seen for a while in church. This member was very shabbily dressed, and he was drunk and everything. And the preacher came through and said, "What in the world is going on with you, man? What has happened to you?" And this guy, you know, in his slurred speech told him, "Well, preacher, you know, I lost my job, and then the stock market crashed. I lost all my money." And I tried gambling, and I just got deeper and deeper in debt. And now I know I owe so much money, I'll never get out of debt. I don't know what to do. All I know is to drink. He said, what am I going to do? Can you help me? And the preacher said, well, yeah, I'll tell you what you do. You leave this place, quit drinking, go home, sober up, get your Bible out, and God will show you what to do. And so the man did that. He left, and preacher didn't see him for a couple of weeks. Finally, he came to church one Sunday. Man, he was all dressed up. He was great. And preacher said, what in the world? You know, what happened to you? And he said, well, preacher, I did exactly what you told me. You remember that night in that bar? He said, I did exactly what you told me. I went home. I sobered up. I got my Bible out. And God showed me exactly what to do. I did it, and everything is fine now. And so the preacher said, well, what exactly did God show you to do? And the man said, well, it's very simple. I opened my Bible, and right up there at the very top, it said chapter 11. And so I filed for bankruptcy, and now everything is fine. I knew exactly what God was telling me. Well, that's the way people use Scripture. I mean, you know, just we kind of open it up and put our finger down, kind of like that guy that just said, well, what is it saying today? So he just flipped through it, and he put his finger down. And the verse he put his finger on said Judas went out and hung himself. And so he wasn't real sure what God was trying to tell him with that. So he thought, well, maybe that's not right. So he flipped a few more pages, put his finger down. And the scripture said, go thou and do likewise. So he didn't like that very much. And so he said, well, let me try this one more time. He flipped a little bit further, put his finger down. The verse said, what thou doest, do quickly. I don't know. I don't know why I tell these things. For those of you who are chuckling, I appreciate that. Again, we're going to get a laugh track. But that's the way. That's. Thank you, brother. But that's the way that people use Scripture. We try to get this piece or that piece and try to figure out what is God trying to tell me in this. And what the Scripture, what the Holy Spirit does is He takes the entire Scripture. He takes the full counsel of God. Because remember, partial truth will ultimately lead you to error. And beloved, don't make any mistakes about it. The devil knows the Bible. He can lead you to Scripture. I mean, he did this with Jesus. When he was tempting Jesus, you know, he said, hey, Jesus, turn those stones to bread if you're hungry. And Jesus quoted Scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but every mouth that proceedeth out of the Word of God. And the devil said, well, I know the Scripture too. You know the Scripture? I know the Scripture too. He said, took him up to the top of that temple, and he said, throw yourself out, because you know the Scripture says that his angels will protect you so that even your foot won't be dashed against a stone. I mean, he just quoted Scripture. And was that truth? Yes. Is the Scripture true? Yes. But Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. You understand? There's more than just the Scripture. There's the biblical principle, and all those things go together. We need the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God, and this is what He does. He takes the Word of God, and He applies it in our heart. He works in our life. Don't proof text. Let the Scripture speak for itself, and let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth about Scripture. We need that Spirit of God to take what God has given us and apply it to our lives, because there's been all kinds of heresy and error that have sprung up because people just took this part of Scripture or that part of Scripture. Let me give you just a couple of examples that just really break my heart. One was a number of years ago, and I don't know that they're around anymore. They may still be around. There's a group called Operation Rescue. You remember them? And what they believed was the Bible taught that that life begins at conception, and that a baby in its mother's womb is a living being and should not be killed through abortion. Now, is that true? Absolutely. Does the Bible teach that? Yes. And so what did it lead them to do? Well, because of that truth, that was true. They took that, and they decided that they were going to bomb abortion clinics. They ended up killing a number of people. How in the world? Yeah, I mean, you understand, there's something convoluted there. Something is not working right if you take the Scripture and it leads you to bomb somebody or kill somebody. You understand? How in the world does that work? Let me give you another example. There's a Baptist church, and it breaks my heart to say they're a Baptist, or they call themselves Baptist, up in Kansas. I think it's Westbury Baptist Church. And they've studied the Scripture, and the pastor there, and they believe that that to lie with a man as you lie with a woman is abomination before the Lord. That is, homosexuality is a sin against God and is an abomination before the Lord. Is that truth? Yes, it is. It is truth. The Bible teaches that very clearly. And so what they've done is they've taken that truth and they believe that a nation who allows that to go on in their borders is under the judgment of God. Is that true? I believe we're under the judgment of God, certainly. So what they have understood that to mean is that if you're a soldier in the military and you take up arms in defense of your country, you're actually defending homosexuality. And so you're under the judgment of God. And so these folks go around, and when there is a when there's a funeral of one of our servicemen that got killed overseas or something, they protest and say, this is God's judgment against you and against this nation and everything else. Now, in fact, this past week, during Veterans Day, they were up here protesting in Houston, Texas, because the mayor up there has got some kind of ordinance where it don't matter where you're man or woman, go into any bathroom you want to, that we're okay. I mean, whatever you decide you are, that's what you are. And so they're up there protesting and condemning everybody and condemning everything. You know what the scripture leads me to do? The scripture is all that sin, certainly. What is God calling us to do? Preach the gospel. You understand, there is the entire counsel of God, or the whole truth of God. If you just take one little part and you say, okay, that's it, and I'm going to base my whole life on all of that, rather than the full counsel of God, led by the Holy Spirit, interpreted by the Spirit in my life, walking with Him. Do you understand? Which leads me to the third way. So the Holy Spirit is our guide to all truth about God. It's our guide to all truth about God's Word. And finally, it's our guide to all truth about God's way. About God's way. Now listen to me, beloved. God has a way. And you and I have a way. And the reason we need the Holy Spirit to show us the way of God is because what Isaiah said back in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, he said, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For as high as the heaven, or for as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, understand what God is saying there. He's saying, I've got thoughts and I've got ways, and they are so much higher. I mean, as the heavens way up there are higher than the earth down here, here are my ways, here are your ways. Here are my thoughts, here are your thoughts. Now, the scripture says in the book of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but that way leads to destruction. In other words, if we're left to our own way, that is, the things that we think are right, or the ways that we think are right, what's going to happen is we're going to fall off into destruction. We're going to find ourselves in destruction. Because we can look at it and say it's right, but God has a way and God has thoughts. So what do we need? Well, if we turn back to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, look at this. He says, wherever you turn, to the right or to the left, and he's speaking to his people now, he's speaking to God's people. He says, wherever you turn, to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Now, you know what he's talking about there? He's talking about his Spirit that he puts into our hearts and lives, that guides us in the way of God. That other way, that takes the person of God and takes the Word of God as he applies it into our heart and life. And he says, here is the way, walk in it. The Holy Spirit is that voice of God that says, here is the way, walk in it. And if we're not listening, if we're not hearing that voice and knowing, we're not going to know his way. And so what's going to happen again is we're going to fall into error. For example, we have ways, God has ways. Our ways go something like this. I don't want to have any problems. I think that all of my problems ought to be solved for me. I think I ought to have smooth sailing. I ought to be healthy, wealthy, and wise all my days and all these things. I think I ought to get this. And God, if you're my God, you ought to take care of all the problems I have so I don't ever have any problems. And somehow, some way, if God doesn't take care of my problems, now I'm going to get mad at God. If things don't go the way I think they ought to go, then there must be something wrong with God. If I'm not happy, if I'm not healthy, if I'm not wealthy, if I say all these things and God doesn't do it, now I'm mad at God. See, that's my way. Because you know what the Scripture says? You know what God's way is? God says, I care more about your character than I do about your happiness. God says, I'm going to take those things, those good things and those bad things, and I'm going to work them together for your good. But that doesn't mean I'm going to remove you out of them. In fact, in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, James says, count it all joy, brother, when you fall into different trials and tribulations and temptations, because you know the trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, when we're having problems in our life, it's not necessarily correct for us to say, God, get me out of here. This is not God's way. What we're saying to God, what we ought to be saying to God is, God, you show me your way through this. God, you do what you want to do in my life. God, you take my life because I belong to you and I'm giving it all up to you. God, guide me in your way. This is what the Holy Spirit does in our life. You understand? See, this is how our way is different from God's way. Let me give you another example. Our way says, you know, that what I do is more important than what I am on the inside. And so as long as I'm doing right or acting right, then it doesn't matter what's happening in here. You know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. He said, but if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about what's going on the inside. He said, God looks at the heart. He said, you've heard it said, don't murder. That's the command. But if you've got hatred in your heart towards someone, you've already committed murder already. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about what's going on the inside. He said, God looks at the heart. Everybody else looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. You understand what God desires in our life is to build our character, our inside, because he knows that what's on the inside ultimately is going to come flowing outside. Our way says that, you know, as long as I go to church, it doesn't matter how I live. You know, I can come on Sunday and I can sing praises to God and do all that kind of stuff, and I can go out there on Monday and live like the devil Monday through Saturday, and it just doesn't matter. God says obedience is better than sacrifice. That's God's way. God says these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, if you come to church every Sunday of your life, but you're not living for Jesus, then you're nothing. Do you understand? See, there's our way, and there's God's way. And the Holy Spirit takes the things of God, and he works them in our hearts and lives. So not only that we might know God and that we might know his word, but that we might know his way. Now let me just point out one other thing in this. The way to God is Jesus. Jesus himself said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's right back in John chapter 14. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. Now, how are you going to know the way to God? Because there's a lot of people out there say, well, you know, you can get to God. Listen, every way is correct and right. You just find some way. Whatever's good for you is good for God. So you just find your way to God however you can. The Scripture says, God says that nobody seeks after me. There are none righteous, no, not one. That is, none are seeking after the way. You know what has to happen? In order for me to find my way to God, the Holy Spirit of God has got to quicken my heart. He's got to wake me up. He's got to enliven me so that I can even see Jesus. And then I can begin to understand the things of God through Christ Jesus. And he can come into my life and save me and redeem me and transform me and put his Spirit within me. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God has got to work within me long before I'm saved, if I'm ever going to be saved. Because you see, this is salvation. Knowing God. This is salvation. And I can't know him in any way, shape, or form unless the Spirit of God begins to work in my life. And beloved, when the Spirit of God begins to work in my life, this is called the grace of God. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. He ought to be going somewhere else because I'm certainly not good enough, but he comes to me. And he begins to work in my heart and life. He begins to quicken me. And now I can respond to Christ Jesus. And now I can be saved. And now I can have life. And then the Spirit of God comes to live within me forever. Forever. This, beloved, is life. This is salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is our guide into all truth, into all things God. God Himself, God's Word, God's way. And what I'm saying to you today is, beloved, don't get trapped in partial truths. Don't settle for just a little bit here, a little bit there, what this guy says or what that guy says. Listen, the Spirit of God within you is life. The Spirit of God within you is salvation. The Spirit of God within you is eternity. And God has given you His Spirit. And if you've not received the Spirit of God yet, it means you're not saved. But this morning, it might very well be that the Spirit of God is talking to you. And He's saying, trust Jesus as your Savior. He has opened the door for you. He's shown you that sweet salvation in Christ. You're coming to understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sin because you're a sinner separated from God. You wouldn't even know that without the Spirit of God. And today is the day of salvation for you because the Spirit of God is quickening your heart and life. But if you're a child of God, God's Spirit dwells within you. And He is the voice of God saying, here's the way, walk in it. He is the voice of God saying, here's the word, all truth. Here is God. Beloved, don't quench the Spirit in your heart and life. Allow the Spirit of God to reign, to rule within you as you walk with God. Because apart from our counselor, our paraclete, our guide, we will never ever know God completely. We'll never know His Word. We'll never know His way. God, would You help us today as we just look to You by faith? Father, I pray for that one or two or those this morning who've never trusted You, and the Holy Spirit is convicting their heart of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. God, today I pray would be the day of salvation. Lord, that those, these, us, we just might completely and totally give up at this point and say, here's my life, Lord. I want Jesus and be saved. And Lord, for those here this morning that belong to You, but the Spirit of God has just been quenched, put out, pushed down. We haven't been looking to Him as our guide in the things of God and the ways of God and the Word of God. Lord, I pray today that the Spirit would just be unbound, unchained in our hearts and lives, released, and have complete freedom. And Lord, for some of us, that might mean radical, radical change. God, help us today. Oh, Lord, let Your Spirit have control today in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.